Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to High School Game Day, the weekly high school football show where we review last week's action, preview this week's slate of games, and where the WCBC sports team actually picks the week's action. As last week, things changed at the top. Mike Allen picked up a couple games on Dr. Z. Mike now in sole control of first place, and Dr. Z and I behind Mike by one game. And as promised, our first segment, as always, or our game recaps. We'll start with a game that happened on Classic Hits 107 on Saturday afternoon. Frankfort, long road trip down to Williamstown, deep, deep part of West Virginia, in a pivotal West Virginia Class AA matchup between the number one Falcons and the number three team in West Virginia AA in Williamstown. Tony O, Brad Reed had the call. And Mike, this one was a very good game between these two teams, but Frankfort separated themselves, get the victory, 27-7.
Yeah, Frankfort was prepared for this game, Garrett. They went down there, they traveled 3-hour drive, and they just totally destroyed the team that was undefeated and had the whole town out for the game. It sounded like on the radio what Brad said, it was just a nice atmosphere down there. Glad that Frankfort got to experience that, but as far as the football game goes, they just dominated it 27-7. The names that we hear every week, Cutter, 6-for-7, 59 yards. He also had a rushing touchdown at the quarterback spot. Carter Shanholtz continues to do what he does every single week, 13-for-83 and a touchdown. Their defense held this team to 7 points. Garrett, it's time to start talking about Frankfort as a state championship contender this year.
Yeah, they proved without a doubt that in terms of the top of West Virginia AA, the cream really rises to the top. Fort Hill ranked number one in the state. Coach Whiteman, of course, loves to see that, but still doesn't want to, you know, inflate his team too much. But I think the doubts are out now. When you go on the road, let alone if you play at your house, but let's just say, you know, you're a number one team and you host a Williamstown who's ranked number three. You win at your house, that's one thing. You go on the road out of your routine on a Saturday afternoon where you have to get up early before 7 a.m. You drive 3 hours and you put up this convincing style win. Like you said, Mike, I think it's time to start putting Frankfort as a favorite to win the state championship, to finish undefeated in the regular season.
Yeah, Garrett, they're going to go undefeated. Here's what's so impressive to me. There hasn't been any hiccups, right? We think, okay, well, this team could give Frankfort a game like Mountain Ridge, 47-15. Go down to Williamstown, number three team in the state. Will Frankfort have a couple hiccups? Will they fumble the ball in their territory? Will they blow a punt? Will they do these things? Will they blow assignments? They don't do that. Coach Whiteman has his team so prepared and so ready to go play football that that's exactly what they do, and there's just nothing that stands in the way from them in the state championship. They're going to go undefeated. They're going to win these last three games, and then the playoffs come where if they're one seed, they'll have to play 16. You got to figure that's going to be an easier game, and no game is easy in the playoffs, don't get me wrong, and some of these teams that could be 16, like East Fairmont, you know, Dylan Auer's team last year where they were a very low seed. They won the state championship. They might have been 16th. But in 2A, I don't think you have that. And Coach Whiteman, you know, they have to be thinking about long-term goals here in state championship. It's never happened at Frankfort. And what a better year for it to happen when no one at the beginning of the season would even thought of it.
Yeah, marquee win for the Falcons. Coach Whiteman, you know, he loved this one, loved it for his kids and the coaching staff and everybody who makes Frankfort football possible. Big win for the Falcons. They travel to Berkeley Springs tonight on Classic Hits 107. Now to a game that was also on Saturday afternoon, billed as a big one in our local area, as Fort Hill, for the third time on the season, playing a big school from out of our purview. And this one, this school, coming all the way from Rochester, New York, East World of Inquiry coming down. They came down Friday night, faced off against the Sentinels, and Fort Hill totally dominated this school. I interviewed the coaches before the game. They had co-head coaches, so that was interesting. And whenever I was interviewing the coaches, I just got this sense, especially from the one coach, that they were really wide-eyed, knowing what Fort Hill is, knowing the tradition, and it seemed like they could never snap out of it and get in this game. Fort Hill 52, East World 0.
What a dominant win. I think it's Fort Hill's most dominant win of the season. Here's why. Yes, they dominated Mount Ridge. Mount Ridge is a 1A Maryland team. Okay,
yep.
They have 700 students. This team is a 5A school from New York. Call it what you want, right? New York football is not that good. I've heard of it all this week, you know, trying to downplay this win. They're 5-2 now. The only game that they had lost to was a very high-ranked New York school. They throw the ball. They got D1 athletes. Their quarterback was about 6'3". Their line had a guy at tackle that was 300 pounds and could move his feet. We don't see these teams up here. And here's what I'll say. Are they as good as, you know, a Dunbar or a city school like that? No, I will say that. But this was a decent football team. And let's not discredit them. I agree. Here's what happened. They came down here. They weren't ready for these, you know, hillbilly, mountain-type kids. They had it written all over their face. I happened to run into them the night before. I asked them some targeting questions, let's say, and just to see if they knew anything about Fort Hill. And when we talked about number three, they said, well, what position does he play? So they probably hadn't watched much film. They weren't prepared, and they got their butts beat. And that's what happened. Fort Hill was as dominant as I've seen them all year, and it looked like last week beating Mount Ridge and finally, you know, getting their stuff together carried on to this week.
It's been routinely said if you're going to play Fort Hill, you better get them early, because once they start to gel and as the season goes on, they just keep getting better and better. At this stage of the game, the whole 11-on-11 our athletes versus your athletes doesn't cut the mustard against a team and a program like Fort Hill. Being down on the field, Mike, I mean, we talked about East World having spreading the ball out, throwing the football. Early on, they tried to run it right between the tackles of Fort Hill. That did not work. Then they went to the passing game. Nick Willison, Mason Bennett on those edges, disrupting the backfield, was a true difference maker in this game. And what can you say about Fort Hill's offense that hasn't been said already? Jabril Daniels, 10 for 178 and four touchdowns. And honestly, Mike, at no point did I feel like Fort Hill was in danger in this game. From when the ball went up in the air to the first play from scrimmage, Fort Hill just controlled this game. And a credit to their preparation, their maturations this season, 52-0. I think that reinvigorated and awoke the idea that Fort Hill is for real. Those two losses early in the season shouldn't have any add to the doubts. This is a team that's in the hunt for their fourth straight state championship.
Totally agree. Jabril Daniels went 78, first play of the game, ended up with four touchdowns. Braylon Younger starting to get the ball. He's starting to show that he can be a you know, compliment to Jabril. Nick Willison is a name I want to bring up, and I haven't so far. He is in the running, in my opinion, for Defensive Player of the Year.
Agreed.
He kind of took, you know, no one can step into Carter Hess's shoes. Just no one will ever do it. He's the best player, in my opinion, that put his hand in the ground to ever come out of this area. He came in, struggled a little bit with the double teams early. He's starting to get his feet wet, and he is making dominating plays every single week on the Fort Hill defensive line. Number 22, Nick Willison, he is a beast. And watch out for him when they start announcing these awards at the end of the season, especially when Fort Hill or if Fort Hill wins another state championship.
Fort Hill at Smithsburg this week. That game is a 7. Was it supposed to be a 7? It's actually a 6 at Smithsburg. And good news for Fort Hill and not so good news for Smithsburg. This game is going to get played. Smithsburg an 0-7 team.
Ooh.
So I do not envy Smithsburg this week. The Leopards might lose their spots in that matchup. Now to a game that we had for you on WCBC on Friday night, up at Kaiser, Allegheny taking on Kaiser. 109th meeting between these two schools. First play of the game, first drive of the game, Allegheny turns the ball over. Kaiser scores, and being down on the field, being the field reporter, I was thinking, oh, no, here we go. From that point on, this was not a game whatsoever. Allegheny dominated between the tackles. Allegheny dominated defending the pass. 49-14, big win for the Campers.
Yeah, Allegheny needed this win. It's one of those games that I always talk about that you circle on a schedule as a must win. Kaiser is not the Kaiser of old. They're struggling. You know, they're barely 500. They got beat by Hedgesville. They got beat by RCB bad. Barely beat Hampshire. Allegheny needed this win, and they needed a big win, and that's exactly what they did. Jackson Resch, man, I saw a post saying that he is in the running for player of the year, and I absolutely would agree with that if Allegheny somehow would upset Fort Hill or do something crazy like win the state championship. I definitely would give it to him. He churns out these numbers week after week after week. I mean, what a performance. 208 yards, 4 touchdowns. Keontae Bible, the freshman, the young buck, another touchdown, receiving touchdown. Aiden McKenzie with almost 100. Sebastian Stewart with 2 interceptions. I mean, he's starting to come around a little bit week by week as the Allegheny quarterback, throwing the ball here and there. Allegheny, I'm telling you, here's what's most impressive to me, Garrett. You know what's coming, and you can't stop it. You know they're going to run the football. They're one tight end, one split, or whatever they do. They're running wing T. They're coming right at you, and you cannot stop it. No one has stopped it yet besides the first couple of weeks of the season where they were just now finding themselves and their positions and things like that. Allegheny, they run the football, and they did against Kaiser.
Yeah, their line offensively and defensively has been most impressive this year for me. You mentioned Sebastian Stewart, how far along he has come. Watching him in pregame warmups, and you know they send the receivers out, and he's throwing the football. He throws a tight spiral, and I asked Coach Hansel. I said, Coach, it seems like Sebastian is coming along. You know, he's doing better and better each week. I said, watching him right here, he throws a great football. And he said, yeah, he's inexperienced. He's getting his feet under. He just has to set his feet. He goes 1-for-1, throws a touchdown pass to Keontae Bible in this game. On the other side of the field, however, Kaiser is in a really rough spot because traditionally when you think of Kaiser, you think of running the football and you think a big line. They did not do – they don't have either at their disposal. Their line is undersized. They have a couple of athletes in the backfield who are trying their most. Grayson Lamka, I feel bad for him. You can tell he's trying to will his team. But Kaiser is in some trouble, and they have been in terms of getting back to the postseason. We'll talk about the playoff seedings and rankings in West Virginia in the next segment. But right now, they are on the outside looking in, and it doesn't seem like it's going to turn around anytime soon. So Allegheny 49, Kaiser 14. We'll get to a game that, Mike, you were at on Friday night. Mountain Ridge Northern, we thought this would be a close game. We didn't think it was going to be this close or go to an overtime. It was both. Mountain Ridge with a win 21-20. Missed field goal at the end of the game, sends it to overtime. Northern scores. They miss their extra point. Mountain Ridge scores. Makes their extra point. Close game and a big win for Mountain Ridge, if we're honest.
What a win. What a win for Mountain Ridge over a good Northern football team. I thought this game was going to be over before it started because both teams were running the football. When Mountain Ridge did pass, they were short dink and dunks. That the clock just kept running. Northern's first drive, Garrett, they got the football. They scored a touchdown with 1 minute and 12 seconds left on the clock. That's how much they churned that those 3 yards in the cloud of dust was actually happening, although it was a turf field. It was a great football game. Mountain Ridge finally came alive in the second half. They had a touchdown, then they got another one, and I thought the game was going to be over. We talked on the show that this could be a field goal game by Tyler Cook. Well, they had the chance right before the end of the game. They're at the they actually went for the field goal instead of trying to score a touchdown. They had it as almost as an extra point, like on the 3.5-yard line, and the snap was high. Northern rushed, and Cook missed, so it went to overtime. You're exactly right, Garrett. Northern scored first. They missed their extra point. Ridge scored on a third down and 25.
That's crazy.
There was several penalties that backed them up. They ran a choice route with the guy on the outside, and he went for like a fade where the inside guy ran the corner off wide open for the touchdown. And, of course, we knew Cook wasn't going to miss that two times, and he won the game on that extra point. A ball game.
Mountain Ridge has been kind of shaky the last couple of weeks. So for them, with all those things stacked up against them, you miss the field goal, goes to overtime, Northern scores, they miss their extra point. You're able to score in a 3rd and 25 after the penalties. Talk about a gutsy win and really gutting one out. This week, Tyler Cook picked up another college offer to Southern Utah. I saw that this week. So Coach Delane Fitzgerald continues to pick from the pile here in Western Maryland. You love that, D1 school. Kudos to Tyler Cook for picking that up. Mountain Ridge goes to Williamsport. That's an interesting game that we'll talk about. Northern still trying to figure it out. They are at Allegheny tonight, a game we'll have for you on WCBC. That should shape up to be a close game. So in 1A West, things are starting to tighten in the 3-6 seedings, 3-6 rankings. But a big win for Mountain Ridge. They gut it out and win in overtime. Last two games as well. Hampshire beats up on Berkeley Springs, 45-7. Landon Eversole throws for another 200-plus yard game, 13 of 17 for 269 and 3 scores. Wyatt Swanger, his main target, 3 catches for 155. So once Wyatt Swanger caught the ball, nobody was catching him. Head coach Donnie Evans has his program and team rolling, Mike. Hampshire is now a 5-3 team. What a total 180 from that program a couple of years ago.
Total 180. New coach. I saw his picture on the Times News. Good for him. Good for Landon Eversole at the quarterback spot. Donnie Evans leading his team to a 5-3 record. Don't know if they'll win this week against Washington, but two 3A schools going at it. But, man, I mean, again, you talk about games you should win. Berkeley Springs is one of them. And did they handle them? 13 for 17, 269, 3 touchdowns all in the air. They're choosing to play a certain way, and they're perfecting it. For Hampshire to get 5 wins, I think, is a box that we never thought would be checked. And it's definitely a goal that you don't talk about that as a football team. Like, you play 10 games, you want to win half of them. But 500 for them is a really big deal. And I don't know who they played the last week of the season, but, man, Hampshire's rolling, and they're doing it in the air.
Hampshire travels to Washington. That's a tight game on paper this weekend. And in the final game, Southern still banged up. They fall to Tucker County as we expected, 62-12, the final score there. That's going to do it for our first segment. When we come back, we'll talk playoff standings, rankings in both West Virginia and Maryland. Then we'll get to 3 games that we'll preview for you tonight in action here on WCBC. Welcome back to High School Game Day alongside Mike Allen. As always, this is Garrett Egan getting you ready for tonight's Allegheny Northern game. On the AM for Frankfort, they travel to Berkeley Springs on the FM. And before we get into our first 3 games, have to give a shout-out to Bellinapoli Pizza Pasta Subs here on Green Street, the host and home of High School Game Day for big pizzas with plenty of toppings, pastas, subs, sandwiches, appetizers, wings, and desserts, whether you're dining in, carrying out, need it delivered, pregame, during the game, or postgame. Look up Bellinapoli Pizza Pasta Subs, Green Street in Cumberland. Segment 2, game previews, but let's first start talking about the playoffs, which we did a little bit last week. West Virginia AA, King stays the king after last week's action. Frankfort still ranked number 1. Williamstown still 3. Roane County still 2. So there's nothing that's going to keep Frankfort away from a home playoff game, a couple of them, if you will. And looking at Frankfort's last 3 games, Berkeley Springs, Grafton, then Kaiser, I think the Falcons are safe to assume they're going to be playing at home a lot in the postseason. However, on the opposite side of the coin, West Virginia AAA, Kaiser now ranked 21 after that loss to Allegheny. Hate to keep picking on Kaiser, but it just you know, to be fair and as balanced as possible, Kaiser's in a rough spot. They have to find a way to reinvigorate that program. I don't know how to do it or how you go about doing it. Success always breeds confidence, and it always gets more kids out. Look at Hampshire. But Kaiser ranked 21, Mike, and still with a tough schedule. It looks like Kaiser's going to miss the postseason again.
Yeah, I wouldn't say went in thinking Kaiser wasn't necessarily a playoff team, especially after that first week one loss. But, you know, like you said, they have to figure out a way to get the athletes on the field, get them in space. They're in the building, you know. Basketball team's decent. Track team's decent. They got to figure out how to get these guys going. And if anyone can, it's a native of Kaiser, like Derek Stevens. So I trust that he'll get the program back on track. Maybe it's got to do with schedule, but when you have to play Allegheny every year and, you know, some of the teams, RCB, some of the teams they play, you know, that's not easy to do. So I think they're fine. They're just not a playoff team this year.
Now to Maryland, as you promised, Mike. We looked at the standings last week. Clear Spring was in the two slot. That has changed, and I think it's going to continue to change. You mentioned that, you know, let's wait on the next couple of weeks. Things are going to get shuffled. The deck is going to get shuffled. As it sits here today, Fort Hill 4-2, or rather a 5-2 team at the top spot. Mountain Ridge 4-3. They jumped Clear Spring, so they're in the second seed. Ranked second. Clear Spring now at 4-3 as well due to points are third. Northern at 4-3-4. Allegheny at 5-3-4. Then you have Southern, Hancock, and Smithsburg. We talk about it. It seems like week in and week out, everybody makes the postseason. So what we're kind of keying in on here is home playoff games and how that shakes out. Everybody still controls their destiny in that regard. And like you said last week, Mike, a lot of these teams play one another. Still, Fort Hill still plays Allegheny. Mountain Ridge plays Northern plays Allegheny, and you're going to see things shake up. Fort Hill plays Smithsburg as well. But Fort Hill, Mountain Ridge, Northern, and Allegheny still in the hunt for that opening week home playoff game.
Here's what needs to happen for Allegheny. They need to get to that three. Somehow, I don't know if they can, with a 4-5 record, if they don't beat Allegheny in the last week of the season, but they need to get to that 3-seed, because what you don't want to do is be the 4-seed and play the 5 and win that, or be the 5, play the 4 and win that, then have to play Fort Hill. You'd much rather play Mountain Ridge and have that rematch somehow. I don't know how that plays out. I know one plays 4, two plays 3, so that's where, if they could get to that 3-seed, maybe, you know, Clear Spring loses couple games late or something like that, and they jump Northern with a win. If that's possible at all, that's what Allegheny's going to have to do.
Well, tonight they get to control that destiny and help themselves as Allegheny, the 5-seed, takes on 4-seed Northern on WCBC. Both teams 3-4, both close in points, but Allegheny can surely help themselves in the rankings in Maryland 1A West with a win tonight. That should be a good one. We'll preview that in the third segment. So that being said, that segues us right into our game previews here at Bellinapoli Pizza Pasta Subs. And we'll start with a Kaiser Golden Tornado at 3-4, traveling to face the 3-4 Moorfield Yellow Jackets. Moorfield, we saw week one kind of give Frankfurt a run for their money at times. Both teams 3-4, given last week in that performance against Allegheny, it's hard to be optimistic for Kaiser. They have a gauntlet to finish out their regular season. Still have to play Mountain Ridge as well. But for Kaiser, going on the road to the Chicken Coop out in Moorfield, tough matchup on paper.
This is a tough matchup, especially the way Moorfield's physical. Moorfield's going to be a physical team. Here's what we got as far as common opponents and things like that. Moorfield's losses came to Frankfurt 28-7. If you think about that now, Garrett, that's pretty respectable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? And when that was week one, they lost to Hampshire by 2. That's the only thing that stands out to me when you talk about this football game is Kaiser beat Hampshire 21-13 and Moorfield lost to Hampshire 27-25. I think home has a lot to do with this game, where it's at. It's played at Moorfield. Kaiser's traveling there. Even though it's not a far travel, it's still Moorfield. It's a different atmosphere. And I believe it's a grass field.
Grass field.
So that's different. But Moorfield also lost to Tucker big. They lost to Hampshire by 2. They lost to Frankfurt by 21. They beat Petersburg. They beat East Hardy. They beat Rocktown. And they lost to Stroudsburg 42-21. On the Kaiser side, they lost to RCB big, lost to Alco big, lost to Hedgesville 28-7, lost to John Marshall big. They beat Weir, Berkeley Springs, and Hampshire. So Hampshire's the only common opponent But that's kind of, like you say, fool's gold to me when you talk about this football game. I think it's going to be a close game. I like to see Kizer get back on track with some of its running backs and receiving guys that, you know, receivers that can make plays. Just get them in space and let them make plays. And I think if they can use their speed against Moorfield, Moorfield's not necessarily known for speed. They're more known for power. They can win. But I believe the favorite here is Moorfield.
Yeah, Moorfield as home has always been tough. Love to see Kizer get a win here, and it is doable. The problem after seeing Kizer up close and personal last week against Allegheny, Moorfield, we traditionally know, is a smash-mouth football team. They like running right at you, and usually Kizer has the big and uglies up front to combat that. This year, their line is just so undersized that I don't think it's a technique issue. Kizer's line is just very, very small by their standards. So that is going to make it even more tough. Mike, you mentioned getting the ball out to your athletes quickly. They're going to have to do that. Addison Bradford did a commendable job last week against Allegheny at the quarterback position. Grayson Lamka, you know, did as much as he could do as an individual on that team. But Kizer has to control the turnover battle. They got that early turnover. What'd they do? They scored immediately on Allegheny. That sort of performance has to happen. They have to have the ball bounce their way, and they have to play a full four quarters. Talking to Coach Steven before the game, I said, you know, what's holding back this Kizer team? He said, honestly, I don't think we've put together a full four quarters. Surely, again, wasn't the case against Allegheny, unfortunately, if you're a Kizer fan. But that's not to say that Kizer cannot go on the road and win tonight. They surely can. They just have to get the job done. 2-3-4 teams. It's not an upfield, total uphill battle, but it is very tough to play in Moorfield, especially with the Yellow Jackets, a very respectable team who can get the job done. Now to a game that is surely lopsided on paper, and that is the 7-0 Frankfurt Falcons. Number one 7-0 Frankfurt Falcons. Traveling to the 2-5 Berkeley Springs Indians, as my grandmother used to say, instead of Indians, she called them Indians. A little slice of my life. But anyway, trying to fill some time here. Falcons come off a massive road win. Berkeley Springs got beat up pretty bad by Hampshire. Mike, is there any fear of a layover this week, a hangover, if you will, after such a big win last week? You have a lesser opponent on paper. You think you're just going to go out there, run around, get an easy win. Is there any fear for that?
No. Actually, I didn't even research this game at all. What I do know is ran into a guy that his son, Jet McCullough, plays for Frankfurt JP, and he was telling me how Jet hasn't even played a whole lot in the second half for Frankfurt, and this is going to be another one of those games. And they deserve it. You know, this late in the season before making their final run to finish undefeated, they're going to go down here, they're going to run their guys a half, and they're going to sit their guys in the second half, and that clock will be running. I'm not sure. Does it run in West Virginia?
Yeah, it's in the second half, and it's a little bit different.
It's different. Like, it stops on kickoffs, but that's the only thing it's going to stop for, because this clock will be running. And Frankfurt, man, I just can't say enough of the job that Kevin has done. I mean, what a great job he's done every week, preparing his guys, figuring out who's going to play where. You know, because some of these guys, they might not look like running backs. They might have played tight end last year, like we saw that with Tyreek Powell. Remember that? And he moved to the backfield. So he knows his kids. If anybody knows their kids, it's Coach Whiteman. And good for him. They'll be 8-0 after this week with two to go. And then, you know, they'll look forward to that Mineral Bowl against Kizer, which, you know, it's one of those things like Fort Hill, Allegheny, anything can happen. But they're a huge favorite.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Jet McCullough. He was, on the defensive side of the ball, very instrumental in that win at Williamstown last week. Credible athlete, and he's been just that for Frankfurt year in and year out. So kudos to him. Yeah, this is going to be a lopsided affair between these two teams. Even though Berkeley Springs likes to put up points, they only were able to put up 7 last week against Hampshire, and Hampshire threw all over them in a lopsided win over the Indians. Now to a game that we usually like to put Fort Hill in the third segment, because Fort Hill's obviously a big dog in town, very good program. but it's hard to put them in the marquee spot when they're traveling to 0-7 Smithsburg. Some of the notes I put down, Smithsburg are the Leopards. They have purple. Also, due to the email from Gavin Palumbo, AD, I found out that Smithsburg doesn't have facilities, so they'll have porta-johns there.
Really?
For people to use the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
So there's another note I put down. All jokes aside, this is going to get ugly very quickly. You talk about starters not playing a whole lot. I would think that maybe after a couple 80-yard Jabril Daniels touchdown runs and two carries and, I don't know, a hefty dose of that Fort Hill line, you're going to see some different names out on the field for the Sentinels as they are expected tonight to really roll Smithsburg.
Yeah, let's get back to the jokes, though. Did you say porta john?
Porta-loo, porta-john.
How about porta-potty?
Yeah, I like porta-potty.
Okay.
Sure.
Because that's, like, when I'm running at AC, I see a bunch of porta-potties
gotcha.
On the way around.
I don't know if I go in those, but.
No. Unless it's an emergency.
Yes.
Smithsburg's no good. They've lost to FSK, Francis Scott Key, Williamsport, Century, North Hagerstown, Clear Spring, Catoctin. And you remember how Catoctin got beat, and we'll talk about that in the next segment, by Mount Ridgebury, you know, really bad. So, you know, I will say Smithsburg will do their best. They might put up a touchdown on the second team for Fort Hill, but Fort Hill's going to play their stars a half. You can't just rest them the whole game, especially
Agreed.
When you're talking about next week's homecoming. So another thing to think about here is Jabril Daniels has 59 touchdowns. The Fort Hill record by Josh Page is 71.
Oof.
He needs 12 touchdowns from here on out.
Playoffs included, right?
Playoffs included.
Gotcha.
Touchdowns to break that mark. So I would think they'd like to get him in the end zone a couple times, if not three, to see if he can get closer to that record and nine with, you know, however many games that they play, including the playoffs, is very reachable for him.
I would say that it's probably I don't even think the bet would be taken by anybody whether or not Jabril Daniels gets in the end zone each week. He is just that remarkable. Thinking back to last week, Mike, the first play, you know, you're thinking, okay, Fort Hill's probably, you know, going to hand it off to Jabril. This might be like 5, 6, 7 yards. And that train horn was going. He was into the second level, and I laughed out loud. I was thinking, this thing's over. 78 yards on the first play. He has that home run capability, to use a baseball term, because once he gets a little hole and he hits the jets, it is so hard to catch him, slow him down. But 12 away, like you said, gets three this week. Two or three in homecoming, you never know. He had 5 last year, right?
In homecoming,
yeah.
Broke the record.
That's crazy.
As well as the state game.
So all that being said, Fort Hill taking on Smithsburg. Expect this to be a lopsided affair. I would also, Fort Hill threw the football well last week. Babbo caught that touchdown pass. Might see a couple of wrinkles. Fort Hill trying out some different things. But, yes, expect Fort Hill to roll tonight at Smithsburg. That's going to do it for our second segment. When we come back, we'll start talking about 4 other games, one on the AM tonight, one on the FM, and then we'll get to our picks. You're listening to High School Game Day here on WCBC. Welcome back to High School Game Day, the weekly high school football show. Review last week, preview this week. We are in our third segment. If you're just joining us tonight on the FM, you have Frankfort traveling to face Berkeley Springs. On the AM, Allegheny hosting Northern at Greenway Avenue Stadium. 4-3 Allegheny taking on 3-4 Northern. Good matchup there on paper, however you slice it. Big matchup there for the Campers this week. Now let's start first and foremost with a game that on paper seems like it might be a pretty good one. Uniontown 3-5 hosts Southern, who lost handily last week. They've been banged up, but we've seen Uniontown before, Mike. They played and they got drugged by Northern 58-6 or 56-8, one of the two, one of the combination two. Oh, it says it right there. I just can't read. 58-6. Interesting matchup here, and what this does, depending on how you slice it, Northern and Southern play each other in a week in the Garrett County Showdown, Garrett County version of homecoming. So this is kind of a measuring stick of that game as well, a preview. Uniontown at home hosting Southern. What can we expect here?
I think Uniontown's a little bit, you know, their program's a little bit higher right now than Southern, although Southern has football players that want to play football and want to be physical. Uniontown, we know that they got beat up by Northern. Northern's a pretty darn good football team.
Agreed.
I mean, you talk about Northern probably should have won that game. Coach Carr took his foot off the gas a little bit right before half. They could have come back and haunted them. And they should have won that game against Mountain Ridge. So if you think about, you know, being a Mountain Ridge level team that's been in the last three state championship games, blowing out this team, it doesn't really make them that bad. So I think Uniontown is a better football team than Southern is right now, maybe not next year. Southern banged up with injuries, like you said. I don't know if Southern has enough firepower to win this game.
Yeah, Southern, right before Allegheny, they got very badly injured. Trip Wolf got banged up, and Coach McLaughlin, before the Allegheny game, talking to Brad Reed down on the field, said, you know, we're not going to make any excuses. They have had a total 180. You talk about Hampshire. Southern didn't have a team for 8 out of the 10 games last season. If we all can recall, they had to shut down their varsity schedule, injuries, low numbers. They changed the guard. They bring in Coach McLaughlin. All of a sudden, they have 50-plus, and they're winning football games. So kudos to Southern. Interesting matchup here. I think this is a winnable game for Southern. It just depends on who is going to dress, who is going to play. They're at full strength. I have it as a closer game than the Northern 58-6 win over Uniontown. But the wild card is health. It has been the last couple of weeks for Southern. And as we've seen, Uniontown home game, expected to be closer than the Northern matchup, but on paper should be a good one either way. Now to a second game that we'll preview here. 5-3 Hampshire. Can't get enough saying that. 5 wins removed from last year. Shout out to head coach Donnie Evans. Comes over from Petersburg, takes the job. 50 plus in terms of numbers. They had to order new jerseys, and they're winning games. It's just not bodies filling those jerseys. They're a 5-3 team. They travel to 4-3 Washington. Triple A matchup here, Mike. What should we expect in this one?
It'd be a good football game. Washington, as we know, is coached by a Fort Hill native, Glenn Simpson. He played football with Jimmy Furstenberg and Eric Beal, and I'm sure he hasn't been right since playing with those guys, but he's got a good Washington football team. Those three losses were to really, really strong football teams. Here's what we got. They beat TJ, Thomas Johnson. They beat Brooke. It was close. They blew out TJ. You know, they lost to Martinsburg big. They lost to Spring Mills big. They beat Hedgesville 42-7.
Oh, wow.
So that's what I look at here. I'm thinking, wow, they blew Hedgesville out. Hedgesville beat Kaiser. Kaiser beat Hampshire. So take that for what it's worth. You know, we know what Hampshire has. They're going to throw the football. Washington will be very much ready for that. This could be a really good game. I would say if it was at Hampshire, I would say Washington would be a 3-point favorite. Now I think they're probably about a 7 to 8 point favorite. Not that I know anything about betting games, but just seems right. You know, Hampshire can stay in this football game if they're completing the passes they've been completing the last couple of weeks. Washington isn't a world beater, but they have had a better resume so far.
Yeah, they've definitely been challenged. If this were to shake out to be a close game, Hampshire has a lot of experience with close games. 3 overtime games this year. They won 2. They lost 1. So they kind of relish the fact of playing a close game. We can expect this one to be a good one. Hopefully for Hampshire, after this week, Hampshire could be a 6-3 team after I think they won 2 games last year. Sounds about right. So big AAA matchup, 5-3 Hampshire at 4-3 Washington. Now let's get back to Allegheny County as Mountain Ridge takes it on the road. 4-3 Mountain Ridge taking on a 4-3 Williamsport team. Looks like a good one on paper, but looking at Williamsport's schedule, some ups and downs as any high school football schedule is. Williamsport, a 4-3 team. We saw them scrimmage. I believe they scrimmaged Allegheny before the season. Didn't seem like they were world beaters, but for Mountain Ridge, they're still really trying to stabilize things the last couple of weeks, and they took a step in the right direction last week with that 21-20 win over Northern. Mike, what do you see in this one?
Wow, Mountain Ridge really needed to win that game or else this game would have been a lot closer in my mind. So here's what we got. Williamsport lost big to Catoctin. And remember, Mountridge blew Catoctin out. That's all I needed to see. I really didn't need to do any more research. They did beat Winters Mills, Smithsburg, Clear Spring, and South Hagerstown. But what I'm telling you is those teams aren't that good. Williamsport's 2A. Those teams are 1A. Smithsburg, Clear Spring, South Hagerstown's 2A, but Smithsburg and Clear Spring, you know, I think if we put a football team together, we might be able to hang Smithsburg. And then Clear Spring, as you said, was leading in some points, but that won't last long. I think Mountain Ridge, the favorite is here. They needed that ball to go, you know, through those uprights last week and beat Northern. If they would have lost Northern and lost four straight games, I would think that maybe their kids would have packed it in and got ready for the round ball season. It didn't happen. It went through. Now they're going to be back. They play Kaiser next week in their last game of the season. They could easily be a 5-3 football team. They're going to probably hold that 2 seed and have to play whoever the 3 seed is. And it's not going to be Allegheny unless they pull off a miracle with points. So they, you know, could be playing for the region title. Looking down the line. Now, that's if they hold court and do what they're supposed to do these next 2 weeks. I think they're a better football team than Williamsport is, and I think they're going to win.
Yeah, definitely have high hopes for Mountain Ridge in this game. Like you said, that win last week was key. Needed it, got it. Keep the heads on straight. And keep in mind, folks, Northern got the win. Williamsport, winnable game. And then Kaiser, a winnable game. So like Mike said, like you just said, Mike, I mean, have a chance to close out the season, regular season with 3 straight wins, roll into the playoffs where anything's possible and everybody makes it. So Mountain Ridge at Williamsport tonight. Now to our game of the week, one we'll have for you on the AM. Tonight, Allegheny taking on Northern on WCBC. Airtime immediately following this broadcast. It is a home game for Allegheny. It's at the stadium. And on paper, this has always been kind of a close game, especially in recent memory between these two teams. Northern comes off a very close game where they lost in overtime on an extra point. Allegheny comes off a shellacking to Kaiser on the road. If I feel like a broken record saying it, week in and week out, Allegheny seems to be getting better and better, and Northern starts to feel a little bit shaky. You can throw all that out the window once a ball goes up in the air. What do you see in this one?
This is going to be a good football game. Both teams are very physical, and I can tell you, when you used to watch Mike Tyson's fights, they used to tell you don't blink because the fight could be over. Don't blink in this one because this clock will be running. This will be one of the shortest games that WCBC will have all year. I guarantee that. Northern's not going to throw the ball. They have some athletes, Garrett. Luke Ross really, really impressed me. He's very fast. He returns kicks for him. He does all the dirty work. They like to throw this little quick hitter to him, and he always had success with it when they played Ridge. The common opponent is Ridge. They beat Allegheny 24-21. They beat Northern 21-20. It feels to me that that Ridge-Allegheny game was like lifetimes ago, doesn't it?
It does.
I think both teams are different now, Northern and Allegheny, than Allegheny was at that point. You know, Allegheny's the favorite at home. I think they need this win to stay in contention, to try to fight for that 3 seed. Again, you don't want to play Fort Hill two times in 3 weeks, although Allegheny will be up for that challenge. Can't wait for this football game. It's going to be a good one.
You mentioned Luke Ross and Liam Stewart's another one on the Northern side. How about who is a key player or players for Allegheny in this matchup, our game of the week?
I think it's got to be somebody other than Resch because Northern is strong up front. However, they aren't strong on the wings, the corners, you know, the five technique guys. It's not their strength. Their strength is their interior line and their linebackers. So will Jackson Resch have a good game? I think he's going to have a good game every week. I don't foresee him having 200 yards. So who is going to be the guy that can get to the corner? Is it going to be Aiden McKenzie? Is it going to be Keontae Bible? I'm hearing that, and I haven't seen Allegheny in a while, I'm hearing that Kane Williams is getting some of those carries, those sweeps. So let's see if they can get wide against Northern. That's not Northern strength. And whoever can do that, to me, would be the key player of the game.
Yeah, I can't wait to be on the field for this one. Allegheny taking on Northern. And then, of course, following week you have homecoming. And for Northern, you have them taking on their cross-county rival in Southern. I'm going to say in Garrett. Anyway, it is in Garrett, just Southern and Northern Garrett. At any rate, big matchup tonight. Immediately following this broadcast, we'll send it to the stadium for that matchup. That's going to do it for our third segment. When we come back, we'll pick the games. A changing of the guard. Used that phrase twice already. Well, there's the third one. As Mike Allen now in control of the picks, we'll try and dethrone him this week here on your home of High School Game Day, WCBC. Welcome back to High School Game Day, getting you prepared on the FM Frankfurt at Berkeley Springs. Join Antonio and Brad Reed for the call there on the AM. Roxione, Jim Zamayas, Mike Connolly, and myself down on the field up at Greenway Avenue Stadium. Allegheny taking on Northern. Let's get to our picks. Last week, Mike Allen went 6-0 and took a game from, well, two games, and now in the lead by one game over Jim Zamayas and myself. And then behind us, we have, let's see, Rock, Brad, Mike Connolly, and Tony O. So we have seven games to pick this week. Wouldn't say that there's a whole lot of diversity in the selections, but let's get to it. Top of the board, unanimous selections, Frankfurt at Berkeley Springs. Tony O, Roxione, Jim Zamayas, Brad Reed, Mike Connolly all have Frankfurt. Frankfurt off that big win last week, Mike. It seems like they don't really have any sort of discrepancy or deficit, if you will. Who you got?
Frankfurt big, and I mean real big, 59-0. I think it'll be 42-49 at half. They'll rest their starters, and I think their second team, their JVs, have been playing a lot, and I think they can put up two touchdowns as well. 59-7, 59-0 type game.
Great tune-up before the Mineral Bowl next week. Agreed. I would be surprised if Berkeley Springs scores more than twice, and both of those touchdowns would be when the second teamers deep in the fourth quarter are out on the field. Now to another unanimous selection. I thought we would see some parity here, or rather some diversity in the picks. However, another unanimous selection, Kaiser at Moorfield. Tonio, Roxione, Jim Zamayas, Brad Reed, Mike Connolly, all like the Yellow Jackets. Mike Allen, who you got?
Like I said, 7-point favorite at home. I like Moorfield in this football game. Kaiser just hasn't shown me enough to beat it. Decent team like Moorfield. Not saying that Moorfield's a playoff team, but they are a decent team.
Yes.
I don't think Kaiser will win Moorfield by a touchdown.
Another unanimous selection, Mountain Ridge at Williamsport. Again, I thought there would be some sort of diversity, mainly from Tony, because he's been taking flyers all year. We all like Mountain Ridge. Tonio, Roxione, Jim Zamayas, Brad Reed, Mike Connolly, all like the Miners. Mike Allen, I have to say you're following suit as well.
Oh, yeah. Ridge, I think if they would have lost last week to Northern, this could have been, there could have been some parity in these picks, but not now. Ridge pretty big.
Now to some diversity in the selections. Southern at Uniontown. Roxione, Jim Zamayas, Brad Reed, Mike Connolly like Uniontown. There's Tony and the Flyers. That could be his band. Taking Southern on the road at Uniontown. Woo. Tall task. Southern's been banged up. Mike Allen, who you got?
Uniontown here. Hate to do it to Southern, but I think Uniontown wins pretty heavily. Tony is taking the Flyers, but how many losses does he have?
15.
Oh, okay.
He might set a record this year for losses. It's 1 year where I did awful. I think I had 15 easy. Okay, now to Fort Hill at Smithsburg. Everybody's taking Fort Hill. Let's not waste the breath. Now to our game, well, another game that I almost whiffed on, Hampshire at Washington. Tony O, Roxione, Jim Zamayas, Mike Connolly, like Washington. Brad Reed has the Trojans getting their sixth win on the road with a victory. Mike Allen, who you got?
If Washington hadn't played such a great schedule and hadn't had, you know, games where they had to line up against Spring Mills and Martinsburg, I would think about picking Hampshire, but I'm going to go with Washington at home in this football game by 7. Garrett, don't forget your picks.
I have Washington as well. Frankfurt, Moorfield, Mountain Ridge, Uniontown, Washington are all my picks. Of course, we're all taking Fort Hill. Now to our game of the week. And we're all riding big blue. Tony O likes Allegheny, 23-20. Roxione likes Allegheny, 34-13. Jim Zamayas has Allegheny, 34-14. Brad Reed has Allegheny 28-14. Mike Connolly has the Campers 28-7. Mike Allen, who you got? What's your score?
This is going to be a heck of a football game. Like I said, it's going to be a very quick game. Here's where I'm going to go with Allegheny. Northern wore down to Mountain Ridge late, and Allegheny's better up front than anybody that Northern has played all year. I like Allegheny by a couple scores and a two-point conversion by Northern, 28-15.
I like this, the slimmest of margins. I like Allegheny, 21-20, the final score. Again, we'll have that Allegheny game for you. Pre-game starts immediately following this broadcast, and on the FM, if you're listening on Classic Hits 107, we'll take you to Frankfort at Berkeley Springs tonight, airtime 6, kickoff 7 as well. Big shout-out to Bell and Appley Pizza Pasta Subs. For Mike Allen, this is Garrett Egan signing off. Whether it's NFL, college football, high school football, folks, enjoy your weekend of football. Good night.